from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. I really want to help you get a good night's sleep. I'm glad you're here. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep.
All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Which, just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking... If the answers to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
So check that out. I also want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. Carl W., who edited this episode and did the theme music, as Jonathan Mann, who's on the lullabies. Whoops. What's the distraction? Carl W., who edited this episode. Chris Posty Posters and from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who did the theme music. Jonathan Mann on our lullabies. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast in whatever app you use. That way you have access to all our archives and everything. And I also want to thank the listeners who have their own Facebook group. Summer and Sarah, Stacy, Lauren, Keith, and Julian, Jennifer. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is speak, but also create a safe place. I don't think I'll successfully speak clearly the whole time, but I hope I'm successfully creating a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, or whatever is, like, if you're waking up in the middle of the night, you need to get back to sleep, or you just need some comfort. I'd like to take your mind off of any of those things. I'd like to be your company here. I'm going to, like, I'm puffing the safe place up. I'm arranging it. Other things. I curate safe places. I don't know if, like, I carve them out. Or, do you prefer, let me ask you, do you prefer a safe place that's carved, dug, or padded out, or rolled and padded and marked with an S, as I like to say, for safe place, or Y, with a Y, or an O, or U, for you? Either way, the way I'm going to attempt to do those things is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, tangents. Yes, there'll be tangents. I may be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation. Oh, no, tonight I'll be talking about Star Trek Discovery. Just discovered I'm mixed up. And so you can discover if you decided, this is, I'm going to be talking about episode 3. And I'll talk about all that in the episode, but, because I want to do something nice and smooth. If you haven't seen it, or you're worried about it, don't worry about it, if you haven't seen it, because I'm going to be really lulling and soothing, and I don't think you could get spoiled, really. This will really be bedtime material, because I'm going to make a lot of twists and turns and contemplations. Looking at the looks on the people's faces, they look at people's faces on the show. So it'll be kind of like a recap, like an abstract recap. I don't know why I don't call it that. I just thought of that. That's kind of like what we do. But let me come back to that idea of abstract recap. I love it when things accidentally rhyme. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark, and I'm going to use these lulling, soothing tones. If you're new here, here's the structure of the show, just so you feel comfortable. Thanks for listening this far if you're new, because we do have to start the show out with 6 minutes of business, just because it's a sleep podcast, and that's how we keep it free, and ideally we're going to keep all the archives free and keep the show 3 times a week. If you're not like a regular listener, it's not super important. If you are, remember when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, think about that. How do you support Sleep With Me? But otherwise, it's not important. Then after the first 6 minutes, we do a intro where I guess tonight I'll talk, what was that? Abstract recaps. Maybe I usually try to create a metaphor or somehow explain how the podcast works or why I do the podcast. Then I usually get mixed up or confused or distracted, or I just naturally go off topic or I stumble on my words, any of those things, and I kind of demonstrate a couple rules of the podcast. Well, then we'll talk about Star Trek Discovery. You think it's just Star Trek? Is it a colon? Discovery? I don't know. But I guess it's not an essential thing either. I mean, if this was like the Star Trek Discovery podcast, the official one, that'd be pretty important. I mean, I'm just guessing. My grasp of grammar is terrible, but I would say it's probably not a semicolon, because that wouldn't make sense in the title of a TV show. Is an ellipsis three periods? So probably not an ellipsis. Maybe a dash or vertical line. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not even sure exactly or barely what a vertical line's called. But we'll be talking about Star Trek Discovery for 45, 50 minutes, and we'll cap off the show with some thank yous. So it's a podcast. A couple things you needed to know if you're new. I'm glad you're here, and I hope I can make you feel welcome. I hope I can earn your trust eventually. It usually takes a few episodes to get used to me And, you know, to trust me, say, what is this person talking about? Why would I trust them? Exactly. If I was you, I would be 100% skeptical. So that's my job, is to earn your trust. Yours is just to kick back. Also, you don't need to listen, even though this is a podcast and you put it in your ears. And this podcast, I haven't totally distilled this down, but I think we would have a tagline like Sleep With Me Podcast. You and your ears and your brain, you don't need to do any work. Just turn it on. So you don't need that. The shorthand to that is you don't really need to listen. Sleep with me. Because I was going to say, let your ears do the work. Leave your brain out of it. But I don't want your ears to have to do any work either. They could just passively reflect my voice. Or you can transition into that state. Because I'm going to be here for about an hour. So that's the other thing. It's a podcast. I say it's to put you to sleep. It's really to be here while you fall asleep. To keep you company. To distract you. To tell you a story. To be your friend. In the deep, dark night. Those are the reasons why I'm here, to take your mind off of stuff, as I said. So you don't need to listen, but you shouldn't feel any pressure to fall asleep, because I'll be here, you know, and hopefully at some point I could maybe put a smile on your face, or maybe just, you know, maybe put a, you know, smirk. A smirk would be a huge victory. And then you'll realize, what is Scoots talking about? How long has he been talking about Anthony Rapp for? I didn't even, if there's an Anthony Rapp fan club, Scoots is probably the president, but, and then you'll say, well, Anthony Rapp does have a nice, those two P's really make it sleepy, and maybe then you'll wake up tomorrow, and you'll say, say, honey, you look great, well, thanks, I slept so good, oh, is that sleep dude, huh, yep, what was he talking about? Oof, I don't know. I have a vague memory of the movie Dazed and Confused in my head, but I'm not sure why. Well, honey, probably Anthony Rapp, beloved. Maybe. I'm not sure. So maybe like that could be a breakfast conversation tomorrow. And you say, geez, I don't have any idea. But I know I fell asleep and I slept good. So that's the whole idea. And I guess it is like, it's not quite an abstract recap. I have a belief in making this podcast that the podcast does need structure, and it does need to some, it needs to be comprehensible to me. I guess it doesn't have to be, so it doesn't, it can't be totally incomprehensible nonsense, because I have to earn the trust of your subliminal system, subliminal. I'm not sure if those are two different things, to be honest. Wish Anthony Rapp was here, because he's a scientist on Star Trek Discovery. So he could probably tell, he'd say, well, spores, man. I guess it's not an abstract recap, but if you were looking at it at first, if you're an uninformed art viewer like I am, you'd say, ooh, that's an abstract painting. And your companion might say, well, you've only looked at it for 4 seconds. Why don't you look at it for a little longer? Also take 12 steps back because you're a little close. And I say, oh, no, it's pointillism. I was just too close. You're right. It's not abstract. What in the name of Surratt was I doing? You could also, if you want to use that first date, it doesn't work on first dates or second dates. Maybe with a friend to try that one. Yeah, because actually it's never worked for me, but I try it on the podcast. So we'll see. Probably has something to do with mispronunciation, maybe. Or that they're like, no, that's neither pointillism nor whatever. And they say, oh, is that a Dutch master? Because I love those Dutch masters. Holy cow. And you could do material. I guess I was trying to talk about abstract recaps. I've done, you know, they say... You know, like, sorry, I view my art outside the cubist. Think about that for a while, because it doesn't make much sense. But anyway, sorry about that. I just sometimes get distracted, like I said. So I guess that's not abstract. It's just distracted. And there's not a real word for that. So I guess it is kind of like an abstract recap. And again, sometimes you need to, you know, massage the language. and say, okay, well, abstract recap's close enough. So it'll be an abstract recap. Tonight it will be fairly unformed, the recap of Star Trek Discovery, because I don't want to put forward any opinions about it, and I also don't want to spoil it too much. I don't like. I just want to like drive around it, kind of like I want to do a Sunday drive through this episode of Star Trek Discovery. And if you're a big time Star Trek fan, we'll probably do 2 to 4 episodes of Discovery, and then go back to TNG. I know we're going to do 2. Because I'm already doing the outlining for episode 4. And I don't know. We'll see what with episode 5. But then we'll go back to TNG by episode 6. Because it's just what I decide. But it could change. I mean, episode 5, it could change. But so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's going to be a nice, enjoyable, slow journey. And I'm really here to help you fall asleep. I'm really here to help you fall asleep, to put you at ease, to enjoy the cast of Star Trek Discovery, because really stellar cast. And, Anthony Rapp is just one of the stellar cast members, a lot of whom you'll be familiar with and you'll already have positive associations with. And maybe you'll learn to trust them through trusting me, and you'll ease off into dreamland. So that's a podcast. And I'm glad you're here, and I appreciate you coming by. I really hope and I really yearn I can help you fall asleep. Thanks.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. When you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Show.
All right. Hey, everybody. We're talking about season 1, episode 3, believe it or not. And I'll explain that of Star Trek Discovery. And the title episode is Context for Kings. So context is for kings. And let me give you a little backstory on why we're starting at episode 3. Well, one, episode 3 is the first episode on the discovery. And let me give my context and then the broader context. Really some stunning visuals on this show. And so Star Trek Discovery is a new Star Trek series. Not everyone may know that, so I'm not trying to be too obvious or over-explain things. Star Trek-splain things. And also, I can't read. I worry about reading too much about these shows because I don't want it to bias my sleepy time coverage. But so it launched recently with a pilot episode that was on CBS, and then episode 2, 3, and 4, when at the time I'm recording this, have aired. They are on CBS's paid streaming service, CBS All Access. And I think there's like 2 weeks free or 30 days free, so you could watch the third episode. The third episode or the second episode might have been free too. But so there's a two-part pilot. Just like our friends over at TNG. And now I think that all got aired in syndication. And the two-part pilot of Star Trek Discovery was very cinematic, I would say, and very movie-like. And it had Michelle Yeoh and then some of the cast from Star Trek Discovery and maybe some guest casting. And a lot of Klingons, and it kind of just, it was less of a pilot. I don't know if it was more of a pilot or a prequel. I mean, it introduced us to one of the main characters of Star Trek Discovery. Or no, I guess to, well, we'll see, because it's a new season. Yeah, I mean, a new series. I don't know, I'm trying to figure out a way to talk about that. It's sleepy and as generous as it can be. But it's also paid, so it's behind a paywall. It's $5.99, and I did sign up for 1 month of CBS All Access. I'm not exactly sure I'm going to renew that, just because I try to watch where my money goes. And the thing I worry about with the streaming services is, like with Sleep With Me, if you're listening on a regular basis and you support the show, it's kind of like a it goes together, where a streaming service in the past, sometimes I forget that it's auto-renewing or I'm only watching one show once a week. And that's the thing with CBS All Access. I'm like, well, if I'm only going to watch just one show once a week, I'm not 100% sold on it. And there's also the added difficulty of the, I watch so much Star Trek The Next Generation. Now, I have watched a couple Next Generation movies during my year plus of doing episodes about Star Trek Next Generation, but it has not been, it's very jarring to go from Star Trek The Next Generation to Star Trek Discovery. Not in a, they're just very different shows, and I think one of it is just the newness of Star Trek Discovery. And I have not discovered a lot of the assets, the sleepy time assets that Star Trek The Next Generation has. I guess it just is like another well-worn glove. I'm very used to Star Trek The Next Generation, and I'm just not 100% confident I can make, I know I can make a Star Trek Discovery sleepy, but I don't know if I can do it. I don't know how many episodes are in the first season. So I'm just going to do a few test episodes, and I think it'll be fun, but I think it might be a shorter run as an experiment, to test, to boldly go, boringly go where other podcasts are as well. Because there's plenty of podcasts about all of these series that you can listen to during the day. And it's just really different than Star Trek The Next Generation. I don't know if it's almost like reading a book and then seeing the movie as soon as you finish the book or something. And just really having trouble digging my teeth all the way in, I guess. But who knows, in the next two episodes, I don't know what's coming. So We'll see. But so we're going to do 4 episodes probably of Star Trek Discovery. And this is the first episode, Context is for Kings. And what does this say? Oh, they do a cool last time. And then it's 6 months later, we see from the events from the pilot, which eventually, let's see, the events from the pilot, we'll learn what happened to our main character through the episode. So you didn't really need to see it because with the last time, you really could have missed the pilot, though the pilot is very exciting. And I think to understand a lot of the Klingon context, you probably need to see the pilot. But I think the human side and the Vulcan side and the humanoid alien side that aren't the Federation side gets pretty well explained in the first 2 episodes on the Star Trek Discovery. And our main character is one Michael Burnham, and she's known, and she's the opening image, sitting on a ship, a frown on her face, strange electric clouds behind her, and she looks like haggard and tired and down. And there's other people on the ship, and they're talking about mines. Seems like some sort of prison transport, which we know she is a mutineer, or we'll find out, I guess, that they're talking about mines and trouble. And there's 3 other conflict. If they talk about that, they don't like Andorians, cold in the wrong places. Cold in the wrong places. And then they say, that's Michael Burnham, the mutineer. The other, one of the other criminals start talking about it. And they say, well, she's a legend. She started the war with the Klingons, more or less. And one of the other prisoners, it's a woman, says, geez, my cousin was you really messed things up for 8,000 people. And Michael Burnham, she says, 8,186. Then there's a bump in a proximity alert, and there's these crystallized bugs outside. And the pilot has to get in the EV suit and go outside. G554 or something feeds on electric. Oh, maybe that's the thing. It feeds on electricity. I didn't know the pilot would go out and do the work itself to clear off the ship. That was my first WTF of the episode. And then these hardened criminals get nervous that the pilot's out there clearing off the ship. Burnham, Michael Burnham, she's hard. She's just well, we'll see what happens. But they're like, hey, pilot, get back on board. And then the pilot decides to go out on a stroll. And so now they're on autopilot, and they try to break their handcuffs, which seems strange to me that they hadn't tried that already because there was just the one pilot. Michael Burnham doesn't, though. She's kind of just got this look. And then this great light comes. It draws her side eyes. And we see a ship, much like the Star Trek Enterprise, just a little more triangular, throw a tractor beam on the shuttle that they're on. A lot of glowing, beautiful colors as the shuttle gets tractor beamed on. Yeah, Michael Burnham barely relaxed. There's rescue music, kind of, good effects. It was strange that the prison transport looks like a little bit like a hot rod. And we get inside the ship. First, there's a camera flyby of the ship, which we see that this is a cool-looking ship. And it's the NCC 1031 Discovery, USS Discovery, maybe? Then there's the opening for the episode. Let's see. The opening's pretty cool. There's different old-school. I didn't watch a lot of original Star Trek. Most of the time, it was after 4:20 in the morning back when I lived that life. And I would always have some sort of weird deja vu where I'd be like, is this the only Star Trek I've seen? Every time it's 4:20, I'm watching the same Star Trek episode. But there's cool, there's a little bit of old school Star Trek music, and even there's some sound effects and even some of the equipment they use. There's no characters, though, on the opening. But it's a really cool, kind of like almost like a James, I'm watching it now. It's almost like a James Bond opening a little bit. When you watch it on mute, it's like, oh, this is like a James Bond music video. But it's Star Trek Discovery. So they're playing the Star Trek music. At some point, what does this say? Chiefowitz, Timed Bay, Commander Landry. I don't know what Chiefowitz. Chiefowitz might have got called to something. Chiefowitz to Med Bay. I like writing down sometimes when the, whatever the PA system comes on. We meet Commander Landry. She's the head of security. Full disclosure, I had a huge crush on this actress when she was on, of course, a major science fiction show whose name I can't remember because now I'm recording a podcast. Battlestar Galactica. She was the chief of staff for the president, I think. Let's see. And she says, geez, it looks like we're unloading a bunch of garbage. She's talking about the prisoners. And she doesn't like Michael Burnham at all. And then she snaps her fingers. She says, on me, like, follow me. And everybody's impressed at a brand new ship, all the prisoners. There's way more metal. There's shirts with silver. There's black badges. Everyone's talking about this. Like, is this a science vessel? What do black badges mean? And then Commander Landry, she says, who's hungry? You got to feed the prisoners or whatever. Then we see Michael Burnham. She's like has an awkward cafeteria moment like in high school. She's also taken in a lot of the ship. And then she sits with the tough kids at the table and everybody acts tough like they're in high school. So then the Commander Lander says, the captain wants to see you, Michael Burnham. This will be tough. Tough, Seuss Manam. Oh, maybe that's the name. So Landry's with Michael Burnham, and then she says, oh, geez, you think you're pretty tough, huh? Vulcan martial arts. Maybe you should stick to logic. That's what she says to Michael Burnham, Commander Landry. And Michael Burnham's very poker-faced. Yeah, then they're on the bridge, and the dude from her old ship's there, whose name, of course, I can't use. And there's a young woman from her original ship. Those are both from the pilot. Like, so the head science officer or the second, like, in the pilot, Michael Burnham was number one, and Michelle Yeoh was a commander. Her commander name escapes me. And I think this dude, he's a humanoid race. I'm not sure what race he is. Saru is his name. He's now number one on this ship. He was number two under Burnham on the other ship, I think, or maybe command. I don't know. And I talked about Anthony Rapp in the opening, and I'm a big Anthony Rapp fan. And he also reminds me of a lot of other actors I'm a fan of. And I said, is this Anthony Rapp? Because I didn't look at IMDb. So I said, is Anthony Rapp playing an Anthony Rapp character? Or is he playing an alien? Yeah, but this dude is really tall, this Saru. But I said, is that Anthony Rapp? During the pilots, two pilot episodes. But in this episode, my question would be answered. I was confused if this was Anthony Rapp or not. So that could cause me a little confusion for 2.5 episodes. Then we go into the ready room. Oh, there's lots of cool star, like classic sound effects. She goes into the commander's ready room. The lights are low. Standard C hum quote. This is like a standard to Star Trek quote. He said, no matter how deep in space you are, it always feels like you can see home. This commander says, maybe it's just me. And he says, sorry about the light. I got these star eyes. We see his star eyes. He goes, I suffer light change. I have to change the light slowly. which adds a little mystery. And then he says, his name's Gabriel Lorca, the commander. I already WTF'd it. Oh, because he has fortune cookies. This threw me off, too. Says, oh, geez, fortune cookies were a family business. You want one? And I was confused that he was eating fortune cookies. Now, I do have friends that do like fortune cookies. And when they come visit, we go to a fortune cookie factory. And you can get flat fortune cookies without to snack on. But I don't know. I don't know what the, like the mechanics of the character liking fortune cookies is. It was a little bit, I don't know. It was like a little bit disorienting to me. Also because there was never any discussion of fortunes that I remember, but I could have missed that. Also, there's a cool map in Lorca's ready room of the front lines during the war with the Klingons. And Lorca reminds us that she's like humans were really living in a paradise or all people with replicator technology. He says, geez, Michael Burnham, can't believe you're on the manifest. Looked at your file, looked at your transcripts, you're really impressive. And Michael Burnham says, what am I doing here? And he goes, I don't know, it's a storm. And Michael Burnham's instincts, she's like, geez, well, I'm supposed to be in prison for being a mutineer. That's what I want. Lorca says, well, maybe the universe hates waste. We're going to work together. I think I'm going to work. You're going to work here. You're going to earn your stay. I'm not going to lock you up. I'm going to use your mind to help out on the ship. And at some point, he comes around the desk and faces off with her. Because he says, geez, we need 3 days to get the lightning bugs off that plane anyway. He goes, we're at war. I need every trained mind available. She goes, I don't want to help. He goes, oh, no free rides on this ship. She kind of backs up. I like the physics of the scene. The only thing with Michael Burnham over these two episodes is like you're trying to understand the character versus the fact that she was raised by Vulcans. Like, what's Vulcan in what's she, like her human emotions? Like in some of the body language, like I said, okay, well. Is this supposed to be a cold Vulcan reaction or a tough human reaction? Or is this like impassivity or is she really hurting inside? But he says, yeah, you're going to do some work starting tomorrow. 800. She goes back to her dorm room. Or actually, yeah, I guess it's kind of a dorm room. Awkward, I said, because she lies in bed. She really seems exhausted. She touches her pillow and feels the thing that says USS Discovery. And I mean, like, this really did pull me out of story a little bit that it's like, okay, we're just going to give you a dorm room with a regular roommate. I don't know. It just drew me out of story a little. But her roommate enters. Why'd you put Sylvia? Her name's Tilly. Maybe Tilly Sylvia? I don't know why I have Sylvia there, but Tilly's really a nice character. She's a talker. If she was more like slightly calmer, she really goes on tangents. So she really gets a glare from Michael Burnham because she's doing this amused, nervous talk. I'm Cadet Sylvia Tilly. Okay, so yeah. I just made the assumption Tilly was really like, but she goes, yeah, I talk when I'm nervous. And it goes, why are you nervous? Well, you're in my bed. I have a lot of allergies, and I need you to get out of my bed and sleep in the other bed. Let me see. Tilly could have been, a part of my podcast. I could take her under my wing. She could make a sleep podcast. The character Tilly. Sylvia Tilly. Cadet Tilly. She's a cadet. I don't know if she's supposed to be our Wesley. Then there's a black alert on the ship. And everybody is like, what? And immediately Sylvia Tilly pretends she just goes to sleep. And what does this say? Not brief, nope. But Burnham really wants to know what's going on. There's like water vapor in the air. And Tilly's just like, well, I'm sleeping. I can't answer any questions you have. I think at some point, burn a mass. But yeah, they go on this black alert. She fakes that she's asleep. Michael Burnham's like, what in the heck's going on? Why is there so many water drops? Then we go to commercial. And let's see, still in bed. Tilly's awake. 7:59 to 8 minutes. Matter synthesis cloud. I'm going to have to see what that is. Right now, she says, Tilly, what's going on in the ship? And Tilly's got her, she's got her back to her. She's pretending to sleep. And then the commercials are rolling. We'll see. Matter synthesis cloud. Maybe she just wakes up at 7:59. Burnham zips up. And she walks out for her first day. And Saru's there. Very tall. Corte. What does that mean? Carte. He's carrying a strange, it was kind of a joke that I just butchered. He's carrying a crate and a bowl he purchased at Crate and Pottery Barn, like an expensive looking bowl with just a kind of bowl you'd expect if you're going to a coffee table, but like a place to be on someone's coffee table that's got a really nice apartment. If it was in my apartment, it'd be full of like change and mini SD cards and gum. But he's eating bluebirds out of it. Blueberries, excuse me, bluebirds. I apologize. So he's eating blueberries out of it. He says, here, try some blueberries. And she goes, man, these blueberries are way better than the blueberries in prison. And I was like, oh boy. And he goes, well, it's probably like, the atmosphere and not the, he almost had a data level joke where he says, it's not the reflection of the replicator. It's a reflection of the, atmosphere. Said blueberries, like at a Federation prison would be strange, I guess, to me. The people seem happy that are on the ship, like they're passing a lot of the crew. Something about 300 missions. I don't know what that is. And then Burnham tries to, Burnham woke up right at 8 o'clock, or zips up her right at 7:59. There's Saru. But she goes, so this is a science vessel? And he says something like, on this vessel, we take words seriously, or something. He goes, I'm not telling you nothing. If you don't know from the captain, you're not going to find out from me. And then he's trying to leave her off somewhere. And then she goes, Saru. And he goes, First Officer Saru. Also, Saru doesn't have eyelids. She goes, geez, that was a nice speech you gave with Michelle Yeoh's thing. And he goes, are you trying to say you're sorry, that you feel regret? And she goes, geez, I just want to get on this shuttle, go back to, I put a star here. Maybe it's from the dialogue. Our facilities can accommodate 300 science missions, is what Saru says. But she goes, geez, I just want to get onto the shuttle to get out of here. Which I said she was going to be imprisoned for life, I think. So just didn't quite... pull me out of story again a little bit. I said, well, wouldn't she just roll with things? Or is she worried about, I guess the captain does address it. So maybe I'm not giving it open heart. What's the name of that? Atonement. Like that she just wants some kind of atonement. So Saru is kind of a mix of an android and, who else? Saru was like a little bit behind by the book. So let's see, what are they talking about? So now, right now they're talking, I just want to get back on the shuttle. Okay. Which she goes, I don't want any trouble here. And he says, oh, okay. This I thought was an important character moment. Cause he says, well, I'm going to do a better job, anyway, than you did in the two pilot episodes. You could tell it hurts her feelings. The camera's zooming in on her right now. So I think that was like a good moment to have empathy for Michael Burnham. because she's so tough. I think, like, there's other times, but she's not in a contextually tough situation. This isn't, like, constant action. And it's also hard to understand her motivation totally. Maybe that's from being Vulcan. But then she gets into the science room, and everybody's kind of, you know, it's her first day. They're kind of giving her a cold shoulder. Yeah, so she's looking for stamens. Everything goes by breath prints there. And she goes, well, where's stamens? In that room, but she can only get in there with the correct breath. And they say, find a station. And she goes to take a science station next to Tilly. Tilly goes, there's assigned seats, actually. And they put WTF again, because, again, Burnham has restricted access, but she starts walking around and looking at stuff. Then Anthony Rapp comes in, so we get our first rappening. And he brushes, like, space sparkles off his shoulder, just like Jay-Z would. And he does WTF. He goes, what are you doing? Who the heck are you? Who told you to come here? He goes, I'm Anthony Rapp. And she goes, oh, I got assigned here and something. And he says something about a Beatles cover band, which, I mean, that would be a really confusing. I don't know. And then he goes, you know what? Fix this code. This code's mixed up. Get to it. It's not like we have assigned seats. Get to a station. And then Tilly does, like, the high. She goes, ooh, sorry, but, like, she just gulps, you know. Not assigned seats. Awkward. Then there's, like, a montage of Burnham coding all night, or scanning code in a virtual reality computer, whatever, like, augmented reality computer system. Again, like, unsupervised. Then we have, like, a FaceTime with exposition with Anthony Rapp and Strahl talking about Sparians and being conservative and another ship. And Lorca pushing their ship to catch up with the old ship with these experiments they're doing. You see these two are very close, these two characters. And Anthony Rapp's character is very concerned about the safety of this other ship's crew, saying, geez, it really sounds like you're pushing the limits. I don't know how you're doing it, but be careful. You're one of my oldest friends. And they say, geez, together we're going to win these awards, but I'm more concerned with our friendship. And this is a character that Anthony Rapp, this is, like, right in his wheelhouse. And then they say Lurker, like, P-O-L, or parent over shoulder. What is it, P-O-S, or whatever kids used to say in IRC chat, because he comes over the FaceTime shoulder. I'm always worried. I just, like, yeah, like, FaceTime, you gotta stay back when someone's FaceTiming. You stay out of the proximity. You could listen in, but don't view in, because you'll be on the camera. But then she talks about this code. She says she did find a mistake in the code. Anthony Rapp says, okay. And she goes, well, I don't understand. What's with the bio, you know, bio stuff? He goes, hit the road, Lurker. Then he breathes into the breath print and goes somewhere secret, and she watches. And I just felt like this was a little strange leap for the character and for the technology of the ship. She, like, steals some of Tilly's drool while Tilly's sleeping and uses it in front of other employees to just go into the secret breath room that's blocked by breath print, which I said, this, like, and I guess it was like, that's not nice. Why'd you guys steal Tilly's drool? Yeah, she's probably going to get a demerit for that. She just busts in, and I put my phone is more secure. Then she goes into this darkened arboretum, and I didn't know how much this was like a backstory that gets played forwards. Is this why the Enterprise and TNG has a big arboretum or not? And she's amazed. And then we see the ship in space, the Discovery in space. We see Lorca worrying. Then he gets a top secret transmission above top secret. It says top secret. Black alert incident. And he goes to talk to everybody in the science room. He says that Glenn's gone. So Anthony's wraps upset. That's the Glenn from FaceTime. They had a Bacchanalian failure or something. And he goes, Stamets, you're going to go check it out. And I want you to take Burnham. And he's like, what? He goes, go over to the Glen, get all their equipment for all the secret projects, bring it back. And he goes, there's like a little bit extra forward exposition. They say, Jesus, shielded, so we can't just transport it. We got to go there. And Anthony Rapp and Lorca, you can see a little tension between them because he's a scientist and Lorca is more of a military man. He goes, get it moving and take Burnham. And Rapp, Stamets goes, and what? And then Saru says, well, she is the smartest person I've ever encountered in Starfleet. So, you know, she would be an asset. He also says, this is not a democracy, which I put, ha-ha. And then, so Saru, what do you think? He goes, well, she, mutiny aside, she's the smartest person I've ever encountered. Then we get on the shuttle. There's like shuttle, a nervous shutter chatter with Tilly. That's inappropriate because it's, there's other people. There's two of the security guard officers. And then Stamets, I think, is flying the thing. Security chief, she's just sitting there listening to Tilly kind of apologize. And, sorry, I'm so awkward, but I'm excited to go on this mission. Good practice for me. And then Michael Burnham says, listen, I got to bow out of this conversation. I want to get a little sidebar here with Stamets, a.k.a. Anthony Rapp. And let's see. Then they talk about some spiral correlation mix-up. That's when they get on there. They just talk about biology really quick. It looks like Stamets is in the past. He's in the shotgun seat, and someone else is flying it. But they had like a mix up with a spiral correlation. There's also a puppy dog loose on the ship. And they realized that also Klingons had visited the ship. So they get in. One of the doors is jammed. There's Klingons sleeping everywhere. There's tears in the hall. They're talking about biological blooms, trying to get up to speed with the mission. Is it plant-based biology or physics? And Anthony Rapp says, biology and physics are the same thing. The quantum level, there's no difference, no difference at all. And she says, what about spores? And I don't know if spores are dark matter. Progenitors of panspermia are the building blocks of the energy across the universe. Physics and biology, no. Physics as biology. Astromycologist, because he's awe. That's what awe at the miracle of life. That's what Anthony Rapp says. So he does a lot of exposition. Like, yeah, me and my friend over on the other ship, we thought we'd find the truth of the building blocks in our lab. But then, you know, military industrial complex stuff. And here we are, not for truth, but, you know, for military industrial complex. And he's not happy. He does play good, beta bully, I guess you'd describe his character. And I don't know, the whole time Michael Burnham's quizzing him, playing dumb like she didn't sneak onto the thing, which is a good move to extract more information. And he also gives more, he goes, geez, the work is going to do what he wants, so just be ready. Whatever he thinks is going to advance his thing is how he's going to use you. Oh, so then we're on the ship. We see hull tears. Then Tilly shows this strange streak of bravery where she thinks she sees the puppy and she says, hey, come out of the shadows. This was the highlight of the episode. A Klingon steps out of the shadows and shushes Tilly. And it was just really well done. I really liked it. And then Landry goes, did that Klingon just shush you? And then the puppy comes and licks the Klingon. And then everybody says, set your phasers to puppy. We got to get this puppy. But the puppy says, you can't catch me. Then they find their way to the science part. And they say, well, geez, we got to get all the logs. Because the puppy's going to drool on the computers and mess up the telemetry. And there's a device in the reaction cube. Burnham says, I need a phaser. They say, no phasers for you. And she says, I thought it was set to puppy drool. Give it to me. So she climbs a ladder, chasing after the puppy. Everybody else tries to get the equipment to leave. And then she does this long quote about from Alice in Wonderland and Alice falling down. There's also a mention of the Jeffries tube, which got mentioned on the Rascals episode of TNG. And then she says, she was the right size. And she says, go. And then she jumps onto the shuttle and they leave. Then there's a cool zoom from the bridge, from the ship to the bubble. There's a bubble where the bridge is in the center of the dish of the Enterprise. Burnham walks on. She's back in yellow like uniform again. She has permission to come on the bridge. Commander Arian. Oh, there's Commander Arian, which is like a ventriloquist bot, like a ventriloquist dummy robot, but just without the dummy part. Seems pretty smart. So that's good for the future of ventriloquist dummies. Now they're just ventriloquist robots in commanders, Commander Arian, in charge of the bridge while Saru goes to talk. Very pleased to Saru is, if only for an emotional moment into reentry room. We'll see what that means when the thing catches up. But she goes into the commander's ready room. There's lights on already. There's a Furby in a coffee bowl in a, next to the left of his cookie bowl. And we get like a little dueling back and forth with dialogue between Lorca and Burnham, which the gist of it is, what am I doing here? What do you want? And Lorca basically says, I want you to work, like the prison transport's going back, but I want you to stay. She goes, has this all been on purpose? Has this been a test the whole time? Why would you do that? Or he says, why would I do that? Why would I be testing you? And let's see, now she's on the bridge here. Saru's looking across. I didn't notice, there's a Commander Arian. Yeah, Saru may have some, like, platform-type shoes. I did just saw them briefly, but they're talking. He's saying, yeah, I'm proud of you. Good thing you're leaving, but hey, great job. You really did a good job. So kind of a cult send-off in some sense. He gives one more. He goes, you were a good officer until you weren't anymore. If only you hadn't, and she goes, yeah. So I don't know if that was like, again, building a connection with, like if he's like this parental role and then we're connecting with Burnham again, but she just has this tough role of being a tough Vulcan. So, but she comes down to the captain's ready room, says, what's up, Captain? And he says, yeah, I'd like you to work on the ship. She goes, what are you, nuts? No way. He's been setting this up the whole time. What does this say? She drops some Genevieve. He goes, well, I can't let you just go. Like, you're too important and too intelligent. Just go serve your time. He goes, well, she goes, why do you want me here? Because you're a genius. He goes, yeah, I'm not here by accident. You brought me here. You've been testing me. Why would I do that? So they do a lot of question talking back and forth. She goes, well, you turned some experimental technology, spore-based thingamajig, and that's prohibited. Oh, Geneva Protocols, she drops out of me, in 1928 and 2155. No spores. And you want me to be the fall person because, I already got a bad reputation. And he goes, well, actually, it's a little more complicated than that. He goes, we're not working anything Geneva related at all. And he goes, side to side transport or something, like where they can transport from one part of the ship to the other. She goes, I'm not who you think I am. She goes, I was used to be a first officer. And I still have, she goes, I'm not going to be that any rank again, but I still have my pride and my ethics and morality, the principles of the Federation of Planets that I live by. And he goes, don't worry about it. He goes, I know exactly who you are. He goes, you don't do things by the book, neither do I. Or some, he goes, I know you love being right. But he says, yeah, something about you don't do it by the book, neither do I. Then they do a side-to-side transport here, site-to-site transports. They go back to that science room, which is testing Bay Alpha, apparently. And he sends her into this chamber, one of the chambers. He goes, Jesus, is this dark matter or something else? Is this what makes the holodeck work? I think that's an important question that'll probably be answered over this season or their second season. Because she goes into this thing, and then he's able to surround her with these sparkly spores, which are some sort of proto-matter, I guess. Mycelium spores, and then when she's surrounded by him, he's able to change it into all these different locations. He's able to show her that, like, she's in all these. He goes, this is a new way to transport the ship, organic propulsion system. He goes, that's what the Glenn was trying to figure out, how to jump. But he goes, we haven't quite figured it out here. It just gets the ship wet. She goes, oh, that's a black alert. He goes, yeah, this kind of thing would be like better than hyperspace. You just appear somewhere and very little power because you'll be traveling on the spores of the universe. He goes, a microscopic web that spans the entire cosmos. Intergalactic ecosystem. Infinite number of roads leading everywhere. The veins and muscles that hold our galaxy together. It could be anywhere and gone in an instant, the discovery. He goes, that's how we'll top these Klingons and win the war that somebody in here started, by the way. And then he takes her. He goes, imagine the possibilities. You could be in Rome. You could be on the beach. You could be, let's see where else they go. Some other, Andoria. I know they go to Andoria. I think they go to Westeros or Karth, I think, maybe. Let's see, there's music playing, Ilari, Andorra, Andoria, Romulus, Blink, you missed Romulus. Blink, you missed some cave world. Blink again, you're on the Klingon planet, and then you're home like it never happened. And she's kind of shaken by all this or surprised. He opens the door. He goes, yeah, I chose you, but not for the reasons you think. He goes, yeah, because you don't do it by the book. He goes, I like your style. He goes, you did the right thing, even though it wasn't, you know, at great cost to yourself. He goes, I need you. You're thinking next to me to win the war that you started. He goes, universal laws for lackeys, context is for kings. And he says, what do you say? What is it to be? He's holding a fortune cookie. What's in your future? What do you wish for? Atonement, redemption, maybe something else. And then he says, you helped start a war. Why don't you help me end it? That's what he says. And then he hands the cookie off. It takes up the whole thing, the whole screen. And then there's a shot of the ship. Then we see Sorrow. He's salting his tea. And he tucks in his, like, hair, which we'll find out what that is next episode. But he has, like, hair coming out that he tucks in. Then we see Morty. Like, it must be everybody. I think everybody's having tea. Oh, he watches the prison shuttle leave. And we see Tilly having tea. And she has her hair down. She's, like, got a plant and everything. She's a total chill mode, having tea with her succulent plant. Captain Giorgio gets called to the office. They talk about Captain Giorgio. Oh, that's who Michelle Yeoh played. Until he says, here's something you know, nobody knows about me. I want to be a captain one day. And, you know, I'm just a cadet, so I got to learn a lot of this social skills stuff. And she goes, you know, you worked with Captain Giorgio. Or she goes, Giorgio. She goes, Captain Giorgio. She goes, yeah, sorry about that. Tilly says that. And then she sees her book. She goes, is that a book? And she goes, yeah, this is Alice in Wonderland. When I was on Vulcan, the one human foster parent I had, she used to read it to me. And she hands it to Tilly. She says, check it out. It's pretty good. Warm book, double question mark. Then we see that the U.S. Angeles Glen is no more. They vaporize it. Then Lorca and Landry, I don't know if they have a relationship or they're just friends, but they actually brought the puppy on board from the other ship, from the Glen. So he goes, how's the new guest? How's the puppy? Has it stopped licking people obsessively? And she goes, I'll work on it, Captain. And I couldn't tell if they shared a moment or not. She goes, as you wish, kind of thing. We see the lab. Oh, lap. I put lap, but I mean, Lorca's got some sort of scientist lab where he's got actually a Howard the Duck anatomy sculpture. I said, that's a Howard the Duck anatomy sculpture. And a couple bullfrogs that are sitting on one another. And then Lorca turns to face the music in his lab. He goes to face the puppy, actually. He says, hey, puppy, can you stop licking people unless they give you permission to lick them, please? And the puppy says, I'm only a puppy, Papa. Can't do much else but kitty. Actually, he calls it a kitty cat, which is a mistake, calling a puppy a kitty. And I think that's it. I think he turns. Now he's turning to face something. And the camera's following him. And yeah, he's facing the window. The camera's zooming out. And we're going to see the full discovery as the episode comes to a close. I think it jumps, yeah. So it did turn out pretty sleepy. I think that was pretty good. To drift off on the mycelium spores of the universe. Good night. I want to thank the people for supporting the show on Venmo. Krista, Rose, Anya, Maggie, Mary, and Aaron. Thanks for supporting the show. And then people that support the show on PayPal, Allison, Frankie K, Jewelry, Alice, Brian, Amanda, Double D, Design, Keisha, Jocelyn, Stephanie, Drawn to Things, Eliana, Tom, Jill, Sarah, Laura, Joshua, Anita, Andrew, and Allison, thanks. And then people over on, everybody over on Twitter, thanks to Ryan from Medical School HQ Podcast, Stacy for the love to get spoke. Ooh, Anders, thanks, and good night, Old Gray Rabbit, Mary Beth, Jennifer G., Texas Beck, Spoke, everybody over at Spoke, Call Me Lou, Sarah Double A with a K, Tina with an I, Chelsea, Stephanie, Babs, be like Babs, Quentin, it's funny, Quentin, I'm just reading your book with the main character Q, Quentin from John Green. Shout out to the great Brothers Green, Sally W., Paul, DeBono, Taylor, Sarah, Debbie M., Jada, Jada Bird, Zaberry or Zayberry, array of letters, Sydney, Wired, Stephen, Melissa H to the J, Juliet, and Brooklyn, everybody over Brooklyn Fit Chick, everybody over there, Margo, thanks, and Alyssa, or Alicia, apologize, Vanilla, thanks and good night. And thanks, everybody else. Thanks for showing kindness. Thanks for listening. And I hope I'm tucking in here. Let me do you a little extra tuck if you're listening. Cue up another episode. But here you go. I'm tucking. Oh, isn't that nice? So tuck in. Good night.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.